has been pushed back. Meanwhile, President Joe Biden has criticised the Israeli Prime Minister's handling of the war. He's told Benjamin Netanyahu not to launch any more major offensives. Military analyst Colonel Simon Diggins says it's a rare intervention.
It's unusual because actually up until now he's relied on other people in his administration to pass on some of those rather hard messages. Kamala Harris, his vice president particularly from here. But here's the president actually making a very clear statement. He's only done that once before, really, and that was right at the very beginning of the campaign.
A man and woman have been arrested as part of an investigation into how bodies were looked after at a funeral director's. The pair are being held on suspicion of prevention of a lawful and decent burial and 2 counts of fraud. A woman has been arrested on suspicion of murder after a house fire in Brighton. A 50-year-old man died in a blaze this morning on Preston Road. Sussex police say a 36-year-old woman is being held. Community Secretary Michael Gove is expected to set out a new definition of extremism next week. Groups that fall into the category will be cut off from public funding. In sport, Liverpool have been battling it out at home to Manchester City. Shane Pinnington is at Anfield.
Liverpool 1, Manchester City 1. A pulsating game here ends all square to leave Arsenal in pole position in the title race, much to the frustration of Jurgen Klopp's side, who really should have won it. City took a deserved lead when John Stones swept home a Kevin De Bruyne corner, but Liverpool equalised through an Alexis McAllister penalty after Edison had brought down Nunes. It's finished Liverpool 1, Manchester City 1.
Earlier on, Tottenham moved to within 2 points of fourth place Aston Villa after thrashing their rivals 4-0. Celtic survived a scare to progress to the semi-finals of the Scottish Cup with a 4-2 win at home to Livingston. And Wales remain without a win in Rugby Union's Six Nations after a 45-24 defeat at home to France. That's the latest. I'm Charlie Maggs.
This is Phoenix FM.
2 million people applied, but only one person got through. DJ Nigel. It's time to face the music.
The best soul, funk, and disco on a Sunday night in Essex.
From a studio somewhere far, far away, you find the best soul, funk, and boogie. Here is the man himself, Nigel Fitzmaurice.
Nigel, he's a legend.
Oi, oi. Very good evening to you. How are you? You all right? Yes. Welcome to Nigel stepping out for you on a Sunday night. Many thanks to Claire and, of course, to Natalie. And before that, of course, the lovely Vicky Michelle. You know. Hello, hello. Yeah. And a very good day from the rest of the presenters as well. But right now, we are stepping out with you till 8 o'clock tonight. Special guest in the studio with us tonight, Kimberly Chambers. If you're not sure, look her up, but you will find out very, very soon indeed.
Look, check it out. There's a whole lot of girls messing around.
Phoenix FM.
Trying to get me. They do things cause they know my girl is away. They try to upset me. They can't believe I resist. How can I hold out? Where is that girl now? But the truth really is, I don't know where.
speechless. Every night when I sleep, I dream of my baby. She's such a lady. Then I wake up and see that she's laying by me, right there beside me. I can't explain how I feel. I really love her, keep dreaming of her. 'Cause our love is for real.
Nigel!
She gives it up.
Oh! Nigel! On the radio.
Wow, what a tune to start off tonight. We are extremely happy tonight to have Kimberly in the studio with us. Do you know what? I've sort of seen Kimberly at different functions and things like that, but. And we have chatted occasionally, but yeah. Amazing lady, absolutely amazing. We'll be chatting to her very soon.
If she stays away for long, she calls me on her phone.
So that's coming up very soon. We'll be talking about her new book, plus when she started way back in early 80s. And also she was lured into the DJing side of things as well, with an original bought by her mum and dad. Little TV. No. Stereo. That's no good. I want to go out on the road. Got no bass. So here, find out about that as well. That's all coming up for you. And the new book's out there right now. It's called The Brothers. So there we are then. So we'll play one more track and then we'll start to have a nice chat with Kimberly. Some of you may know this one, some of you may not, going way, way back in time. It's Just Can't Get Enough. It's by Lou Curtin. Not Lou, as in Lou, ooh, ooh, Lou. And it's not a curtain in your loo. No, it's Lou, L-E-W. You know what I mean. This is a track and a half. Just Can't Get Enough. Oh, on the way, we've got Greg Henderson. Oh, we've got the Funk Masters. All the best tracks that you can ever ask for.
Yeah.
Nigel, what's the curtain?
Oh, yes. Just can't get enough on a Sunday night. That's Lou Curtin. Just having a look at the figures here. Nice. Yes. Welcome if you're on Mixcloud right now. Hello. Let's have a look at the other one in a minute. And if you're listening on 98 FM... So you'll be in South Essex, North Kent, yeah, East London, and of course the world if you're listening online. Hello. Hello to Wyn and Diane on their way back from Crufts right now, back to Anglesey. Oh, the weather's not nice out there. Just safe trip to you both. And you're driving, Wyn. Take it steady. And also David and Donna, Kia and Caitlin up there in Scarborough. Hello to you. All right, we're going to have a quick message from Mikey and then we'll be talking to Belinda. No, we won't. Yes, we will. Here we go.
Mikey's Breakfast.
I was watching TV yesterday and Janet Street Porter was on. And they was talking about this, you know, the conversation of the day. I won't mention the program. You know what I'm talking about. Janet Street's Porter just suddenly said out of nowhere. And I think we can all agree with that.
Mikey's Breakfast, 7 to 10 weekdays on Phoenix FM.
There we are then. That's Mikey in the morning. Now he's on with Janet Street. He's a legend, that man, I'm telling you. Absolutely. Let's do... I'm just trying to find the track that I want. It's all going off. Right, okay. Let's send you this next track. Yeah, let's do that one. Good tune. Right, so, anyway. Good evening. How are you, Kimberly? You all right?
I'm good, thank you, Nigel. Thank you for inviting me on the show.
It's a pleasure. Your books, amazing books, crime fiction. Now, originally, you came Dagenham, born in Dagenham.
Yeah.
But then Mile End as well, sort of.
One set of my grandparents come out of Mile End. The other one's out of Oxton. My granddad on the other side come out of Oxton.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they sort of moved down to Dagenham, like, after the war, I think, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And sort of, I think both my mum and dad, I think, were born in Dagenham. And, yeah, so, like, I kind of grew up in Dagenham. That was my stamping ground. And
yeah.
It was a lot nicer than it is now. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that was the full days, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, it was the full days, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good area to grow up in, like, you know, the years I was growing up. As a teenager, it was a great area to grow up in, like, you know,
yeah.
Like, good fun. So.
It's a different world over there now.
Oh, God, yeah, you wouldn't grow up there now, Christ.
No, definitely not. So, obviously, Dagenham, now you're living Essex, just up the road, really, not far.
Yeah, I've got all my mates locating out. I live Hornchurch, so yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, like, you know, I live in a, like, it's a nice road and that I live in, so I've got nice neighbours and, you know. So, it's cool, it's quiet. So
what got you into origin? We'll talk about some of the stuff you've been doing, but what got you into crime writing to start with? Obviously, I don't know, the sort of stuff that you used to, and being Mile End and everything else, you pick stuff up, I guess.
Yeah, it's not just that. I think it's a lot of it's the, you know, kind of people I knocked about with and mixed with. Do you know what I mean? you know, like, I always sort of, I kind of mixed in them circles quite a lot, so, and even if I didn't mix in there, I worked in pubs when I was DJing, and, you know, it was a pub that was full of, like, you know, lively kind of guys, put it that way, do you know what I mean? And, yeah, so I always sort of mixed in them circles. Yeah, I suppose you take a lot in, not that I ever sort of looked around then and took things in, but, you know, I kind of... you know, I got into a few scrapes myself, as you do, growing up. And I think from the age of 21 onwards, my life spiralled a little bit into that direction. And I'm just glad that, you know, as I said, I was DJing, I was doing this, doing that. You know, years ago, if there, you know, if anyone had any hookie gear about, even at like 13, 14, I remember flogging it. Do you know what I mean? Something that come off the back of a lorry. So yeah. I was always kind of... you know, kind of in that world, not massive in it, but, you know, kind of in that world. So,
dabbling, that's it, really.
Yeah.
So, you're obviously an award-winning author, and what was it, The Guardian and Sunday Times and all that recognise your work so much.
Well, yeah, you've got to sell the books to get in the Sunday Times. I've had 4 number ones on hardback in the Sunday Times, so that's really good. Like, you know, it's, you know, there's it's not easy to get 1 number one, so to have 4, and, no, it's really good. I've got, like, you know, my publisher always get them framed up for me, and I've got them up indoors, so it's nice. And I won a Specsavers Award for, I think it's the only thing I've ever won, if I'm honest, for... yeah, I got a silver award for selling over $250,000 of one book like that. That was going back years ago, but so I've got that up on the wall as well. That's
Now, some of your books, the titles are pretty amazing as you go through. Roughly started around about 2003, was it, when you first started writing, or before then?
I was 38 when I first started writing. So what was that? 38. That's 16. No. 18 years ago I started writing, and then my first book came out when I just turned 41 when my first book came out. I got published straight away. I got published with the first one.
So
that was good, you know. There was no kind of self-publishing and that around then. I wouldn't have known what to do anyway. I still write on my books by hand. I'm not very good at all the pros and cons, like, I mean, I can work sort of, you know, the social media sites and that, but yeah. I can't type, for sugar, so I wouldn't be, you know, a friend types up all my books for me. But, so I wouldn't have had a clue. But, yeah, I got published straight away with the first one. And then I kind of, in the early days, I kind of wrote 2 books a year to try and get my name established. Yeah. And I think in the early days, you've got a lot of ideas and it can't wait to spill out. But obviously, as time goes on and, you know, other parts of the job, I mean, you know, sometimes we'll have a book out, I have to go away on tour and that for a couple of weeks and that. So as other parts take over, and, so I kind of wrote, I just had a break, actually, up to this one. I think, like COVID, it was difficult for, as you well know, a lot of people. And, you know, so I had a bit of a break. I felt like I'd written so many books in quick succession. I felt I needed some time out just to refresh and...
Well, yeah, and obviously, as you were saying to me earlier, that... people weren't going out, so you couldn't, you know, do a book launch or anything anywhere because no one was going out.
Yeah, and it felt weird during that time, really weird. Yeah. I suppose it did for everyone.
Now, some people actually took their time to write books during that time. You decided to have a break at that time.
Yeah, I did the opposite. But, like, yeah, so I'm back writing now, and I'm really, really pleased with The Brothers, which is the one that's coming out.
What can we expect from that?
Well, it is a sequel to The Family Man, but it can also be read as a standalone, so it doesn't matter if anybody's read the first one or not. Because I always recap and, you know, so you'll know what happened in the first one. But, so this one, the first one concentrated more on the grandfather, Kenny Bond, but this one, he concentrates on his 2 young grandsons, who, if you've read The Family Man, have been through a tough childhood and a tough time. And we kind of see them in The Brothers. Like, I think the book starts, I think they're 16 when the book starts. And one of them's already got involved with a gypsy girl from like a travelling family that have moved on to the end of the land where they live, the lane where they live. And they're a nice travelling family, actually. And the dad gets quite unwell with like the grandfather. They're two very like tough men, like leaders of the family, Kenny Bond and Bobby Tamplin. Because it was, you know, my story is really unwell. So
did he play for Chelsea? Bobby Tamplin, he did.
I know. Is there? I didn't know there was a guy that played for Chelsea. That is it.
Yeah, Bobby Tamplin. Yeah,
I don't remember. Like, it's before my time. What year would that be?
60s, 70s.
Mm. Be before my time.
Yeah,
but yeah. So it goes on to be about the boys. So at the start of the book, we kind of see this wedding, the wedding of 16-year-old Beau Bond to Jolene Tamplin, like, you know, the travelling girl. And it kind of, I mean, there's lots of other things going round. There's affairs that come to light. There's secret children that come to light. There's, you know, there's kidnappings. There's all the ingredients you'd expect to get in my books. But, and yeah, of course, we've got this link with the family and, you know, the fallout that occurs, you know, when it starts going wrong and, you know.
Hmm. So that's more modern now, if your latest work, yeah? So it's continuation from what you've done previously. Now, I want to ask you about a book. This seems to be appearing from various people at the minute. Right, Queenie.
Yeah.
Now, people have been reading Queenie, I think, recently. And then is our very good friend Linda mentioned in there? Queenie, because no. She's known as Queenie, isn't she?
I never knew that. I've only known Linda a few years. I created
Queenie.
I've only known Linda about 4 years or so, and right. I know her from Tracy. Like who she was inside with, was like a good mate of mine. I go back years with Tracy.
She was in here talking about Giggly Pig, and
I never knew Linda when I created Queenie about 12 years ago. I just picked it because it was a strong East End name. Like strong name,
Because
that Queenie the book. That was I wrote a prequel at the end, but there was six books in that series, and I started with a trap, and I must have penned the trap about 12, 13 year ago.
Right. So what we do is we play another track. Now, because I want to talk to you more about your books and stuff, and then obviously a little bit further down the line, we're going to talk about your DJing and your music and everything else, and how you sort of met people, like when you were doing street marketing, that sort of stuff, yeah? Mm-hmm. Is that all right? Here's a nice track. You may remember this one. I'm sure you played it.
Phoenix FM.
We'll be right back.
It's a proper listening to JFM Horizon back in the day at the mini studios up there in Crystal Palace, yeah. And the likes of Froggy and all that was on there, of course. And with great days, Tony Monson and all them. They were really, really good days back in the day. And that's one of those tracks that you would have heard on there. Right, now, Kimberly, we've... heard a lot about you, so the ideas all come from just general stuff that you've come across, really, if you like.
Yeah, I think I, even as a child, I always had an overactive imagination. I was an only child, and like I just remember as a kid, I mean, it sounds a bit nutty, really, but you know, and I didn't talk to anybody or anything, but I remember I had, even as a child, and I must have only been like 7 or 8. And I wasn't lonely at all. I had loads of friends. It was in the days where we went out to play, you know. So, you know, I was quite a popular kid. I was out a lot. But I had this, like, imaginary family that I made up in, like, you know, the dad was a car dealer. This was even at that age. Like, I couldn't have been no more than 8. Dad was a car dealer. One of the sons became a footballer. This type of thing. I might have been 10, actually, because I think it was just when I got into football. I don't think it would have been 8. I think it would have been... I always had them in my mind. I remember my mum's used to have the old catalogues like Kay's and Freeman. And I remember looking through and thinking, well, this one would wear that, this one would wear that. So I always had that creative imagination, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I made up little stories about them in, like, you know, in my head. So I think it was always with me, really.
Yeah, now you said that you walked down the road with your dad or whatever, and he goes, look at him, and then you'd get...
Yeah, my parents, I come from a small family, but a very funny family. And my parents, like, you know, we're just people watchers. I mean, I'm still like it now when I go on holiday. I'm a people watcher, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Not that you're making fun of people, but, you know, like, you can just, it's just what you do, like, you know. And a lot of my friends are the same. And, you know, my dad used to be terrible. Like, we'd go in a pub or something like that, and he'd go, look at him over there, that ain't his old woman, look how he's reefing round her, that's his secretary or something. So I've always come, like, you know, and they had names for everyone, like nicknames, you know, they always nickname people. Like when we had a caravan down at King's Holiday Park in Pevensey Bay, Eastbourne, and there were some real characters down there. That was the place to grow up, where I did weekends, you know, some real characters down there. And we had nicknames for everyone down there. You know, my dad was the world's worst. So I've just, like, you know, a lot of my characters now, they've got nicknames. I think it's something you did more in the olden days, where people had nicknames, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
More so than what you do today. But, yeah, I just try and, like, you know, build my characters. I like being realistic. Like, I don't like unrealistic situations, whether that be in films or books. So even though my books are fiction, and they are all fiction, I like to try and make them, like, where that could happen, it's realistic.
Realistic,
A realistic thing to happen.
Yeah.
Even though it's fiction.
In general life. Yeah. And that's all experience, isn't it, as you go through the years and everything else. So you also, you've endorsed Linda's books as well previously.
Yeah, Linda, yeah, she asked me for a quote for her latest one. Linda's a good friend, like, I've got a lot of time for Linda. So, I know she's the real deal because... obviously, I know Tracy well, and they were inside together, so so I had no hesitation in giving her the quote. Christ, I mean, you know, no one can get a prison diary as right as Linda, can they? Do you know what I mean? So, or Tracy.
And the whole story of Linda's latest book is incredible, absolutely incredible. And I think that, you know, like, you've endorsed it and everything else, I've read it as well, it's amazing. Amazingly put together, because all the stuff that she did previously was, apart from the Black Widow, the other stuff was all to do with fiction, really, but with people in the background.
Yeah.
With no names, and that was really, really, really good. So, yeah.
She's bringing a copy up for me on Thursday. I'll be seeing her Thursday, so...
Yeah.
She'll bring me a copy up, so I look forward to having a read of it when I get the time.
I'm hoping to, possibly to get there Thursday. We'll see what we can do. That'll be rather nice. If not, we'll catch up with you one of the other places, so fingers crossed with that. So we'll run through in a little while where people can come and meet you and do book signings and everything else. So anyway, now, obviously, you've been writing for some time now, and you're with this book now, obviously, The Brothers, but you're sort of, if you like, your upbringing, you decided now that you... Or you did decide that you want to go out there and DJ?
Oh, when I was younger, yeah. Music was always my biggest passion when I was young, and especially soul music. I got into soul music probably, like, really heavily when I was about 13, I think, or even a little bit below that. You know, one of my earliest memories of music, where I used to live in Dagenham, they had... Well, I'll tell you what year it must have been. I think the song was out in 74, 70. When was Rock Your Baby out?
Oh, George McRae, that was late 70s.
74, 75. One of my earliest memories, and that record was out at the time in the charts, was them having a garden party out the back, and it was over the back of the fence, like, couldn't really see them, but they kept playing that. It must have been in the charts at the time, over and over again. And I just remember really wanting to be at a party like that and loving the music. And at that age, I would have only been 7 years old. And then, like, my love for music just grew, you know. You know, every Sunday, my mum and dad, it'd be like the records day would come out. My mum and dad liked Rod Stewart and things like that. They were into all kind of different stuff, you know. But I my love for soul music grew when I was about 10 years old. And the disco era hit and that.
Yeah,
and
that's it,
Saturday Night Fever and all that. And me, yeah, my love for soul music grew. And, you know, as soon as I remember starting work, most of my weekly wages, because I started work at 16 for a guy on Roman Road Market. I used to work all the East End markets. And, you know, then I learned to drive at 17, and I just used to spend hours and hours either in downtown records, second-hand records section in Romford, or I'd drive up to the record shops. And so, I mean, I wouldn't dream of driving uptown these days. I wouldn't have a clue where I was going.
No.
But I found my way there. That must have been with the old A to Z. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it would have been.
At 17. You're brave, you don't think then. But I spent hours in them second-hand record shops. Not hunting for collector's items. I was never into that. I was just into records I wanted to get my hands on. And I used to buy a lot of American imports because I was a massive... As I said to you earlier, I loved the Tony Blackburn, the Radio London show, you know, of years ago. So I used to listen to that all the time. And I'd often, like, you know... He'd play some, I'd fall in love with it, and then I couldn't rest. You know what it's like when you want a record, you can't rest till you get it.
Absolutely. This is where I was back in the 80s. I worked in a record shop in Croydon, and we had a supplier that used to sell imports.
Yeah.
Then I'd hear them, like, with Greg Edwards, or I'd hear them on the pirate stations or whatever. Got to have that one. Got to have that one. And. Yeah. And that's where, you know, my stuff thing. And then a little while later on, Street Sounds come out.
And the collections?
Yes.
I remember that.
Yeah. Now, they were imported tracks at the time, with Morgan Khan and all that. And so, therefore, that changed a little thing as well. So that was nice. There was a little bit of the electro stuff. I was never really into that.
No, I wasn't particularly into the electro as much either, you know. It was mainly the soul and the disco and that for me. But I got, you know, I still love it now. I've got an iPod full of it, but I've got a varied taste as well. I like a bit of country. I like a bit of, you know, I had my iPod on my motor. Like, we went from Windjammer tossing and turning to Don't Fear the Reaper, Blue Eyes to Colt, and then Hold the Line, Toto, you know, on the way here. So I've got, and then a bit of Dolly Parton.
Yeah. Windjammer, tossing and turning, I'm wiggling, must sleep. Yeah.
That's it.
That's a brilliant track. I haven't got that with me tonight, but you might remember, I want to play this one. You might remember this one, because this is a cool track, and then we'll come back in just a minute. But this is, I'm sure you'll remember this one.
Ooh, I want you all tonight, make it right. You, I want you all tonight. Ooh, I want you all tonight, make it right. You, I want you all tonight.
Only on Phoenix 98 FM. Hi, yeah.
There's a memory. A blast from the past and a ray from the grave, they call it. Remember that one there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Got a nice track coming up, I'm sure. When I first got it, it came out on import. Greg Henderson's coming up very, very soon. So your biggest influences then, music-wise, has it always been that sort of stuff, or, you know, soul, funk, disco, that sort of stuff, or anything?
I've got, as I said to you, like, I've got a varied music taste. I mean, my iPod, it can jump from country and western to every rock, but there's mainly soul on there. If you actually go through it all, there's mainly soul. I mean, I only sold my record collection, I sold thousands and thousands and thousands of records when I left my last property. It was just too big. You needed a whole room for them to take them with me, and I hadn't had a record player for years. I just like my iPod and that. I know people still like playing vinyl, but, you know, I haven't got...
It is coming back now.
Oh, it is coming back, but, like... And it looks good if you've got, like, a mansion. You can have a record room with a jukebox and everything, but it was so... It took up literally a whole room in my last place in the flat where I live. Yeah. And to think of moving it... I hadn't touched the records for, like... 10 or 12 years I'd lived there, so what was the point, you know, just carting around forevermore, you know?
I bet you done well with that, selling it off.
I did okay. I had someone, like, from a specialist record shop come and picked out what he wanted, and then I sold the rest in bulk. Yeah, that was a lot of money for me at the time, yep. I think, because it was pretty before I wrote the... I think I needed the money when I was writing the books, you know? So, I did all right. I mean, you'd probably get a hell of a lot more for them now, if I'm honest, but... But it done me a turn at the time, and that's the main thing.
Yeah, no, that's cool. So, big influence in that sort of stuff. Now, street trading, that must have been a laugh. You met a lot of people, yeah?
I work for, like, I'm still friendly with my old boss. He's 85 now, Harold.
And he's still doing it, no? No,
he's retired now. But, the Roman back in the day, for Tower Hamlets, like stop the parking down there, it was such the place to be in the early 80s and that, you know. It was rocking down. I mean, and women used to outdo one another, and the higher the shoes and the more they on mink coats and that on a Saturday afternoon, it was... obviously you don't really see real fur about now, but back in the day, everyone tried to wear, it was like, who could get done up they looked like they was going out for the evening. But it was a buzzing place to be. It was the best market to work, like, I love the buzz Roman down there Road, at the moment on a Saturday. I love the buzz down there.
Because back in the Dagenham days, there was a Dagenham market.
I worked the original Dagenham, the one down the Chequers,
No longer there now, unfortunately.
No, well, they moved it, didn't they, to Barking? They'd have shut it down completely.
Yeah, shame, isn't it,
so
really?
It is a shame. The only one worth visiting now is North Weald.
Oh, yeah.
North Weald's still all right. Even that, they've sold the land now. I don't know what's going to happen there, so...
No, because I know the air ambulance comes out of there and all that now, North Weald, and whether they're going to keep that all up there or not, I don't know.
What happened to the market, because, I mean, really, you've got to feel sorry for people, like... It's like when Tower Hamlets, like, stopped the parking up there. It's so many people, like, all them traders, I paid a lot of money for them stalls. They all had mortgages, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And overnight, like, as soon as these women were driving out from areas like Chigwell, like Brentwood, all over, and getting a ticket on their Porsche convertible, they weren't coming back there. Do you know what I mean? It killed the market within 6 months flat.
It's crazy, isn't it? It is a crazy world.
You've got a car park there that you can park in or pay. You've got the little, I think it's Safeways up there. You've got nowhere up there.
And what's it like parking down at Roman Road now? No.
You'd have to go up by train, and that's what I mean. The people that were sort of shopping up there at that time, they didn't want it. It's not even near there, the station. They didn't want a quarter of an hour walk from Bow Road Station. Do you know what I mean?
No.
And going back to the train with all the... It killed the market literally overnight.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it, really? So anything you want to tell us a little bit about exciting things coming up or any new books you got planned or anything like that?
I've just started the next one in the series, which will be the last. But I'd just like to say this one that's coming out, The Brothers, I think it's up there. You know, I've written 17 books. It's definitely up there in the favourite top three books that I've written of mine personally. Mm-hmm. I've got some signings I'm doing with it locally. I'm signing in the first one's in Tesco Gallows Corner this coming Friday, and I'm signing there from 2 p.m.
Okay, you're going to be there for quite a long time, or
probably be there for, I don't know, hour and a half, couple of hours. I don't know. I've not really done that one before, but probably a couple of hours.
Right.
And then Saturday morning, I'm at Romford Waterstones. And I'll be there from 10 a.m. Same thing, I'll be there for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And then Sunday morning at 12 a.m. I'm at 12 p.m. Sorry, at 12 o'clock, like noon, I'm at Blue Water Waterstones.
Yeah.
And I'll be there. Same thing for about an hour and a half.
Because they're nice. They're nice bookshops, aren't they? You know.
Yeah.
Waterstones, and then obviously Tesco's. That's nice. You'd have you in there.
Oh, yeah, well, I know I often get recognised when I go to that store by a lot of the ladies that work there, read my books. So it'd be nice to do something with Tesco's, and they seem lovely ladies.
Well, you'll only be there for a couple of hours. It shuts at 4, doesn't it?
What? No, not the big Tesco's at Gallows Corner, though. It's the massive one.
Oh, yeah, of course it is. Does it not show on Sunday? Is it Sunday?
It's not Sunday. I'm doing it Friday.
Friday, of course.
Yeah. Doing Waterstones on the Sunday as
on
well.
On the Sunday, yeah.
And Waterstones Romford on the Saturday at
10 a.m. Yeah.
And then Waterstones Blue Water on Sunday at 12 a.m. And
12.
Tesco's Gallow Corner on the next Friday
at
2 p.m.
That's good. So, okay, that's brilliant. I'm liking that very much. So there's Tesco's Romford then, just to remind you, it's on my page as well, and it's also on Kimberley's page. So have a look on Kimberley's page. Tesco's Romford, Gallows Corner there, 15th of March, 2 p.m. Waterstones Romford, 16th of March, 10 a.m. Waterstones Blue Water, 17th of March, 12 p.m. lunchtime. That'll be nice. Yeah. So we're looking forward to go and meet this fine lady. She's a lovely lady. And one of the things that's fascinating me with you is you've got an East London stroke Essex accent, isn't it? It's a.
Well, I suppose I've always mixed in, like, both, and, like, I suppose Dagenham was Essex then, wasn't it? But, you know, my dad was quite London sound. My mum, not so much. And my nan, not so much, but my granddad was quite London sounding, and so was sort of my
Hoxton
dad's mum.
And all that,
and I picked a lot of I worked on the markets from a youngster, so, you know, and it was back in the day where you were shouting out your ears, and, you pick up that market lingo, and...
Yeah. So, shan't be round tomorrow, donkey's weed on the strawberries.
Well, I mean, I sold ladies' fashion, so I was a bit more diplomatic with it. But, but obviously, you know, you grow up in that market life, and I suppose you don't know. I mean, I used to hate my voice. I used to cringe when I heard it on an answer phone and that. I used to hate it, but you know what? I don't care anymore. I've just got used to it.
DJ as well, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, well, you know what? I was ever so shy when I DJed. I hated my voice that much. I would never talk over a mic.
That's interesting, isn't it?
And now I never thought I'd be the day, because I have to do public speaking here, there, and places now, and bits. I've done library talks, I've done this, that, and the other. And I never thought the day, like, I was quite shy in ways. I mean, I wasn't a shy kid, but I remember coming second in a darts tournament once, and I didn't want to go upstage to get the trophy, like, you know? Yeah, it's weird, but... I definitely hated my voice that much. I couldn't speak over the mic really much at all.
It's incredible, isn't it?
And it was just because of the sound of my own voice, the way I hated it. But.
Yeah, that's all right. Is that being wrong with your voice?
No, listen, as you get older and you accept yourself for what you are, don't you? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Right, you must know this one, hopefully. Greg Henson, and this is Dreaming, fantastic track. One of my favourite tracks of all time, this one. That alongside Atlantic Star and Circles and Sherilyn and Encore, those sort of tracks, they're my faves, but this is a classic favourite of mine. Back in time, here we go.
Phoenix FM.
Evenings are always better on Phoenix FM, taking you to the bridge. We'll be right back.
you want to. You can make it if you want to, cause always dreaming. See, it's Nigel on a Sunday night with the lovely Kimberly Chambers. Superb lady. Proper lady. Yep, she is. Yeah. One of the proper salts of the Wells, you know what I mean? She's great. Yeah, so she's got a new book out now. It's called The Brothers. Fantastic. I was at Lakeside earlier on today as well. See what I mean? These people, they just get out there and they do it all for you. And for those of you who know me so very well, when I'm doing my radio show, or radio shows here on Phoenix, it is my sanctuary every Sunday. It gets me away from everything else going on in my world. And so that's nice. Kimberly, fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for having me on the show, mate.
Yeah, it's nice to these tracks that I've selected. You knew them all, so that's really. And I was looking for. Do you want to hear the? What one was we talking about?
Tom Brown.
Tom Brown, no. George Benson. Let's just
love, see. Ballad. Love, love.